We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hello, Brevard County. Welcome to Monday, June the 8th, 2015. I hope that you have had a great weekend. We are launching into our 64th year of ministry at Merit Assembly of God. Now, I haven't been there all that time, because I'm not that old, but we're glad that we always celebrate what God has done in the past, and we also want to dream for what God is able to equip us to do in the future. So thank you for those who were able to join us for our celebration this week, and we want to take this moment right now to invite you ladies. On Friday's broadcast, we were describing how you are not common. You're extraordinary. Our women's ministry is called Women of Worth. Women of Worth. And if you would like to come and be a part of that tonight, they're having a potluck. And that is followed up the potluck portion, I think, starts at 6:30. And the ladies' meeting itself starts at 7:00. It meets in our fellowship hall. We have two buildings. One of them sits on Grove Street, and it borders on Tangerine. And our fellowship hall is right behind that on Tangerine. There's a parking lot in the back with some basketball goals and things like that. And so if you were coming tonight, I know that Stephanie Booth will have some wonderful things planned there for that. And want to invite you to come and be a part of that. We want to see you discover, develop, and utilize God's gifts that he has placed in your life. We also want to give a shout out today to Creative AC Solutions, Bill Andriak. And if you have or are having air conditioning issues right now, please do not suffer in the air conditioning or without air conditioning. When I used to work retail, I considered air conditioning part of my benefit package. I was like, oh man, I remember the very first summer that I lived here in Florida. And when we came to Florida, we had moved here from Texas, and we were out swimming in the ocean on Thanksgiving weekend. So, you know, ever so often I do a polar bear plunge and go out there in Thanksgiving. And we were wondering, why aren't people out here swimming? This is great weather here. Well, that first summer that we were here, I remember walking out of the store that I was working in. I was a retail manager. I walked out, and all of a sudden, as soon as I left the air conditioning, I just felt like the oxygen left my lungs. I got slapped right in the face with brutal humidity and heat, and I was like, and immediately the suit jacket came off, and I was like, get me to the car and get me to the air conditioning. If you find yourself without air conditioning right now, or broken AC, call 759-3284 here in the central part of Brevard County, and Bill Andriak might be able to help fix you up. So those are just a couple of things that are going on. We want to go back to this. Acts chapter 10 is a passage that it just continues to go on and on. We still got some truths that we want to share with you from that. And so I want to take you back to verse number 28 today. We're going to begin reading there. And it says, then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I send to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things God commanded, or all things commanded you by God. Okay? And so, verse number 29, it says, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? And so I want to ask you the question today. Have you ever given any consideration to why you're doing what you're doing? Have you ever been in a place and you said, God, what am I here for? Because that's what Peter, that was the place that Peter found himself in. This is a very interesting dialogue that takes place. Peter says, you know, we talked about it on Friday's broadcast, that God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Why'd you send for me? Why do you read the Word of God? You're not going to earn eternal life by reading the Word of God. Let me help, okay? You read the Word of God so you can hide it in your heart that you might not sin against Him. You read and study the Word of God because it's the Word of eternal life. It is Jesus. Jesus is the Word personified. He is the Word that was with God, and the Word is God. And so we read it so that we can live more like Jesus. But if you and I, if we go through life and we never know why we are at a place or what we are there for, it's okay to start off that way. And you know, like we've talked about in some of the other broadcasts, Cornelius is acting in obedience and Peter is acting in obedience, and each one is thinking that the other person has the little tidbit of information that is going to help clear things up in their mind. Remember, Cornelius was a centurion. He thought strategically. A lot of times, we think that faith and strategy do not go hand in hand. I believe exactly the opposite. I believe that faith is implementing the plan that God has. And the plan is not to get me to understand before I act. The plan is to get me to act, and as I act, because I trust the God who is leading me and guiding me and paying for me, He's going to bring my understanding as that journey goes along. And so we see Cornelius and Peter both on a journey of faith. They don't really know why they're doing what they're doing, but as they go along in this journey, their faith is going to allow them to have some understanding. So Peter says, What have you sent for me for? Why am I here? And so Cornelius starts off and he tells him exactly. He said, I was fasting the fourth hour, and at the ninth hour, 4 days ago I was fasting, and at the ninth hour, that'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was praying in my house, and behold, all of a sudden a guy is standing before me in bright clothing. And he told me, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. He tells me to send to Joppa to call Simon, whose surname name is Peter, that he's at the house of Simon the tanner, and that house is by the sea. He tells him, those are the details that I was told. And when he comes, he will speak to you. He will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Listen to this. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Cornelius recognized that what was taking place was not just a message for him to hear, but it says there that he had gathered he'd called together his relatives and close friends, And it says in verse number 27 that there were many who had come together. And so Cornelius is explaining, because Peter's wanting to know why he is here. Why is here? And Cornelius said, you've done well to come. This is what happened. I sent men. While they were traveling, I was gathering these people together. You have done well to come. And I want you to know that when God works on both ends of the equation, when he's working with employers and employees, when he's putting the pieces together, that obedience can let me just play a hypothetical here for you. What if Cornelius had gathered all those people together and Peter refused to come? Think about that just a minute. I wonder how many times our delayed obedience has left others waiting for us to respond. Thank God that Peter, thank God that he responded that day. And Cornelius says to him, we are all here present before God. I want to say this. I'll say this over and over and over again. When we come to church, we need to recognize that we are coming in the presence of God. We are not creating an atmosphere that is comfortable for us. Okay? We have two different buildings. One of our buildings is a split-level building, and it was a very interesting day. We have people who pray before our Sunday morning service, and they were up there, and the thermostat was set on a certain temperature, and they were saying, Pastor, is there anything that we can do about this? It's so cold up here. Well, I was sweating. They were a little cool, but I was perspiring. And so I went down into the sanctuary, and the sanctuary was set for the temperature, the comfortable temperature that we needed at for our congregation. And even then, I normally come down a little on the soaked side, but the temperature in the sanctuary was 3 degrees cooler than it was the room I had just left. And I got down there, and the people were saying, hey, Pastor, is there anything we can do? Because it is so hot in here. And I said, it's 3 degrees cooler than upstairs. They're complaining they're too cold, and y'all are complaining too hot. And everybody's got these different preferences. You know, I spoke some time ago about absolutes and preferences and convictions are kind of in between the two. You know, the temperature that you like at that is a preference. It is not an absolute. There are a lot of things that we try. How do I say this without getting people? A lot of times we spend so much energy trying to create an atmosphere at church which is comfortable for us, and we miss the priority of creating an atmosphere that is holy, that's an attitude of praise, where God will come and establish his throne room. Listen, I want to see as many people come to Jesus as I possibly can. The way that takes place is in the holy presence of God. And today, I want you to know I love people. I don't like offending people. I want everybody to like me. Sometimes that's to a flaw, but the older I get, the more that I realize sometimes you just got to do the right thing. Even if nobody likes you, you've got to do the word thing. You've got to do what is in the word. And so that's what we're going to continue to do. And Cornelius says, I want you to know I've just not brought a crowd together. I can get a crowd together. We've done some free yard sales at Merit Assembly of God. And, you know, when I'm out in the community, I'm talking to people and they say, well, we don't know where your church is at. And then we have a free yard sale and people were lined up by the dozens to get in the door. And I was like, you know what? If they see enough value in something, they will come there. I can get a crowd there. If I made an announcement that I was going to give away X and Y, you know, this week to everybody who came, or to the first 200 people that came, you were going to get this. I can get a crowd together, but they would be there for what they were going to receive, not because they were in the presence of God. And Cornelius said, Peter, I've acted in obedience, and I've gathered everybody that I could to get here. And we are here not in the presence of our own comfort, not because we don't have anything else to do, but we are here in the presence of God. And so I encourage you to make your trip to the house of God, make it a more valuable experience by esteeming it to be very valuable in God's sight, that when you come together, you are going to have a God encounter. Okay? And I'll tell you, I've had some God encounters through the years, and once you've had a God encounter, you won't be content with anything less than a God encounter. You will recognize how precious it is, that you will want to create that atmosphere over and over and over again. God is enthroned on the praises of his people. You start praising him, and I guarantee you, God is going to show up. You start praising him and worshiping him, and I guarantee you, his presence is going to manifest. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things God commanded you by God. To hear all the things commanded you by God. Okay? And so Cornelius is explaining to Peter his expectations. So we're here, and we don't want to hear what you have to say. We don't want to hear what Pastor Bob has to say. We want to hear what is coming from the throne room of heaven. What is coming from the throne room of heaven? God has a word, a fresh word, a powerful word. I think I've described here on the radio before about how my dad at one point in time was working on a hospital in Oklahoma, and there was a bakery right across the street. And every day they made fresh bread. And so whenever my mom would, it was back in the days before direct deposit and stuff like that. And so whenever payday would come, mom would oftentimes go down, and once he had his paycheck, she would go get the paycheck and take it and cash it. And she'd say, "You kids want to come?" And we'd say, "Yes." You know why? Because that meant that when we passed the bakery, we got to hear or got to smell the fresh odor of freshly baked bread. Oh, mercy. Don't you love this? You know, we don't fire up our oven much around our house during this time of year. It's just too hot. But don't you love the scent of something that is being freshly made? You know, we have so many fast food restaurants and so many restaurants around that a lot of times we miss the aroma of the preparation. What is God commanded you to say to us, Peter? Now, you talk about pressure. Peter just told Cornelius, "I don't know why I'm here." And Cornelius said, "There's an angel that came and told me to send for you, and I've gathered all these people. We're here in the presence of God, and we want to know, what has God commanded you to say?" Wow. You talk about pressure. And at that point in time, you begin to cry out to the Holy Spirit and say, "Holy Spirit, Jesus said that you would give us the words to say. And so now I am asking you, what do you want to say through me? What is the word that you have, the fresh word, the timely word? What is it that you want to communicate to these people?" Okay? So let's look at verse number 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. And so Peter says, he hears Cornelius and says, we are here ready to hear all the things commanded you by God. Okay. Now, I believe that it's more than just listening that goes on. It's hearing. It's applying. It's understanding. It is ready to act. Samuel said when God began to stir him and wake him up, and Eli was no longer hearing from God, but he knew how to instruct Samuel to be able to respond to him. And Samuel responded, here I am, Lord, your servant is listening. I believe that it is very important for us to tune into God, especially when we realize that there are people who need us to speak, not just a word, not just a message, but we need to bring them a fresh word from the throne room of heaven. And I can tell you that there have been a number of times when people have said, Pastor, you were preaching that word right at me. And I was like, no, I wasn't. I don't have a specific target. I don't have people come to me and tell me their issues and say, okay, well, I'm going to address that publicly from the pulpit. That's not what takes place. That's not the way this works. The way it works is I spend time with God and I hear from him, and I bring the word that is there, and he prepares people to come in, and he knows everything that you have need of before you even ask. And so when he lays that word upon my heart, it's not because he hates you. It's not because he's wanting to be mean to you. It's not because he's wanting to chastise you. It's because he's wanting to invite you to a way to have your burdens removed. It's him saying, I know what is going on in your life, and I love you, and I want to create extraordinary value in your life. Will you listen? And so there they are. They are listening. Peter opens his mouth. By the way, I will say this. If it is pointless for us to sing the hymn, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, if we will not use the one mouth and the one tongue that we've got. If we never open our mouth, if we never take that first step of faith, if we never begin to communicate the love of, if we don't ever make ourselves available, if we never open our mouth, God can never fill our mouth with the word that he wants to say. And so if you are praying, if you've been praying for the Holy Spirit, I encourage you, just open your mouth, open your heart, begin to worship him. Begin to worship him. And Peter opens his mouth and said, now get this. He said, let me start by telling you what I perceive. Paul was instructed by God to proclaim the things that he had seen and the things that he'd heard. The things that he'd seen and the things that he'd heard. Those are the things that we testify about. And so Peter says, here is my perception. Here's the first thing. Let me start by sharing what God has shown me. Did you know that your testimony, your encounter with God, is a great opening opportunity to share your God story with people of how you came to recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior? A lot of people don't like the fact that I share so many personal stories here on the radio, but the reason that I do that is because God has made himself real in those encounters. And so Peter said, here's what I perceive. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, that God is not a respecter of persons. And so today, I want you to know that no matter where you are, what you've gone through, you may have thought, I actually had a person tell me this one time, that they had sinned so much that even God could not forgive them of their sins. I want you to know that that is not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell to try and deprive you of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus' blood is sufficient. And in fact, when we say that we have sinned so much that even Jesus can't forgive us, then what we are doing is we are committing another sin, the sin of pride, that says, I know that his blood can forgive everybody else, but it can't forgive me. God is no respecter of persons. Where you are at today, I want you to know, whether you're from the East Coast, West Coast, North, South, Midwest, no coast, if you're not from America, I want you to know that God expects the same from you as he does from everyone else, to bow your knee and to use your tongue to confess with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's no respecter of persons. He will forgive you of your sins, and he will be the Lord of your life, and he will use you greatly for his kingdom. What a great way to start off this coming week. Father, I want to thank you right now that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, that money does not buy influence, that fame does not buy influence, but Lord, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. God, I pray right now that every person that is listening, Lord, that they would recognize that you have placed great value upon them and you want them to be part of your family. God bless you. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be